Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, always at the top of Kick Around with our pals from Talk Radio News. And you're not going to believe this. Somehow we got Bill Clinton to agree to come on this show, the former president of the United States. I can't believe it. I can't believe he agreed to it. President Clinton, how are you doing today?
Well, Kate, I feel your pain. It's a pretty good day, actually. I was talking to Hillary today. There's my imitation level.
All right, obviously, folks, pretty good. Woohoo! You can tell.
I was around him a lot. I used to do him even better when I was in office. I like Bill Clinton. I can't help it.
I think a lot of people like Bill Clinton. Of course, we have the former congressman from Ohio, Bob Ney, with us. And he's still alive. He is a charming guy, correct?
Well, Bill Clinton, yes. I took my father to meet him. And Bill Clinton put his hand on top of my dad's head, Mr. President, he's a Democrat. And Clinton put one hand on top of dad's hand, one hand under, and said, God bless, God bless, God bless, God bless, three times. And my father was ready to go door to door at 81.
I love that. I like this guy. Yeah, charismatic, no question about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny. All right, let's talk about a couple of things. One is, what do you make of, I know we talk about this all the time, but Trump, here's the funniest thing is, because I'm reading all the things to the right and to the left and everything in between that's being written politically, but I love the headline, Trump dumbfounds pollsters. And that is the thing. You know, Ellen Ratner and I were talking about this the other day. She says, you know, you can look at Nate Silver's deal and all of that, but I don't believe it. I think Trump does have a chance to win the nomination. So what do you think with everything that's going on?
Oh, I posted on Facebook, and I said this on your show, I think 4 to 5 weeks ago, that Jeb Bush will not be accepting a nomination of the Republican Party. He's done. He has been driven into the political sea. Jeb Bush is toast. And I wasn't sure Donald Trump could become president, but I don't know now. I mean, no matter what happens, he just keeps rolling. And I talk to people, you know, and of course, Bernie Sanders is gaining a tremendous amount of steam. I don't know. It's a weird year. But when it comes to Trump, the talking heads are just beside themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, there's a lot of talk about one of the most horrific things that happened in this country, and you were around for this, Katrina, 10 years. What do you remember about the whole Katrina deal?
Oh, in fact, Maxine Waters and I were the first two members of Congress to actually hold a hearing on Katrina, believe it or not. I don't know what the rest were waiting for, but we went down and held one. Later on, but I remember, when it happened, and it was just horrific. When Maxine and I went down, we went into a couple of places. We had to have the, protective clothing and things, and it just was the freakiest thing we had seen. We were down there to see what we could do about housing and where it would go to, but it was like time stood still. The water came through these places, and it was just horrific. Just a bad, bad time.
Yeah, boy. And the president is going to Louisiana. And having spent some time in Mississippi, people forget Mississippi really got hit the hardest by Katrina itself. And, of course, New Orleans, it was all about the levees and the overflow and what happened there. Yeah.
In fact, Maxine and I, the congresswoman from California, went to Louisiana first to New Orleans. Then we went over, Ellen Ratner asked us to come to Mississippi, and we did. We had a formal House hearing in Mississippi also.
Yep, and thank goodness, because there was a spotlight there to show what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even realize this, and you were the one who sent me the link to this, but the Taliban, we were talking always so much about ISIS, but the Taliban just killed two American service people. Wow, what happened there?
Yes, Kate, a lot of news is being overshadowed by everything going on, with the horrific killings of the reporters and Trump, et cetera. But we still have, you know, troops over there, and they're still at jeopardy, but two of our military personnel were killed. There was a former British base. The Taliban went at it. They do what they do. They dress in Afghan uniforms, like they're Afghan military, and then they've turned on our people. So two Americans were killed over there.
Wow, awful. The you and I have talked about this a lot, too, but this is brand new what happened here. You had 200 retired generals and admirals that sent a letter to Congress urging them to reject the Iran nuclear agreement, which they say threatens national security. How come? Why this all of a sudden?
Well, you know what, Kate, I honestly didn't know there were that many retired generals and admirals. I really didn't know. And about a week or so ago, about 36 retired generals and admirals sent a letter supporting President Obama, and now this is the war of retireds because they came back and then sent a letter now, 200 of them, saying, no, we don't like the deal. So it just seems like the back-and-forth battle is endless of letters for President Obama and the deal and letters against.
Yeah. And do you think he pays attention to that? There's so many layers between. I mean, I think he pays attention to the news more than people let on, but I don't think he's reading every piece of minutia that comes his way. Do you?
No. And this is all staged, by the way, and I'm not saying bad, but staged by advocacy groups. You know, for example, there's kind of neoconservative groups that get these retired generals to do this, and then there's groups like the National Iranian American Council that pursue people to support the deal. So these advocacy groups are out there swarming around with the president has very little to do with that. He won't get into the minutia of it.
Yeah. You mentioned it, the story about the reporter and the cameraman, and this happened the other day, and we talked about it a lot in my last show, how horrific it was, the you know, what happened. It was a former employee who was disgruntled, who had a history of a short fuse, and this actually happened live on camera. Just so shocking, isn't it? You have Rush saying that reporters should be armed. What do you think?
Oh, well, I mean, if somebody wants a concealed and carry permit and goes through the legal process, I would support that. I don't know. I mean, we had, when I was in Congress, we had incidences that happened. But, of course, you have to remember, too, we are pretty protected within the Capitol. But then if you look at what happened to the congresswoman in Arizona, was shot out at a event. I just think these days everybody in the public eye, and it could be private eye too, are in trouble, but the public eye needs to be just cautious as you can be. Some things can't be prevented, but this guy had the mixture of all of it, though. The gun violence, the rage, the race, the whole ball of wax was there, mental illness, everything.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, Bob Ney, former congressman from Ohio, our pal from Talk Radio News, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk with Spencer Dukoff, who was a classmate of Allison Parker's, the reporter who was killed that we've been talking about so much from Virginia. She was killed along with her photographer, Adam Ward, as you know. And he talks about what she was like and how excited she was to go to journalism school and what that all meant to her to get that first job out of school and what kind of person she was and whatnot. Put a face on Allison Parker instead of just victimizing her along the way. Plus, after that, we'll speak with Jared Breaux. He was in the eye of the hurricane. He kept predicting what was going to happen. He knew what to do. He had a plan. Got his family out of harm's way. A lot of his friends didn't. He talks about what can they possibly do in New Orleans to prevent another Hurricane Katrina, the levees from overflowing. Hang with us, everybody.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one makes tanks powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Everyone says or does something silly once in a while. But once that embarrassing thing is on the internet, it can spread like a terrible rash. Put it to rest. Get a free expert analysis today from Reputation.com. It only takes 30 seconds. 800-831-0771. We protect your online image by helping to make sure that when people search for you or your business, they find the most current, accurate information possible. Reputation.com. Because word travels fast. Call for a free analysis today. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Do you owe the IRS money? Do you have years of unfiled returns? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. If you are losing sleep over your IRS tax problem, there is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call 800-643-4661 for your free and confidential analysis on ending your tax nightmare. We can help get your life back on track and give you the fresh start you deserve. Our A-plus BBB-rated tax resolution team has over 125 years of combined experience to get you the best deal possible while stopping the IRS dead in their tracks. Call Signature Tax now at 800-643-4661. Call 800-643-4661. Again, that's 800-643-4661. 800-643-4661.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
Tragedy now for a couple of days. It's just awful when I see the beautiful face of Allison Parker just turning 24 years old, and then her friend, 27-year-old Adam Ward, the photojournalist that was with her. And certainly we know what happened in Virginia and all the people and their reaction in the community in and around Roanoke, Virginia, and at WDBJ, and how much she and he were just loved by the people there. I've worked in television newsrooms. We talked about that. It's absolutely depressing what's happened here. But as I said on the show, bringing life to their lives and talking about the kind of people they were, I think, is so important. Spencer Dukoff joins us, and he went to school with Allison Parker. They went to James Madison together, and he graciously is giving us some time here today. Spencer, first of all, sorry for your loss, and I can tell I saw a post that you had, that you had a great time with this woman, and she seemed like she was fun-loving. And is that accurate?
It's very accurate, and thank you for having me. It's definitely a tragedy, but it's nice to be able to pay tribute to someone like Allison in any way that I can.
So tell us how you met Allison at the university, because I thought it was such an interesting story.
Yeah, so I was brand new at James Madison University. I had just moved down to Virginia for my freshman year. And I had just joined an a cappella group, actually, and one of the friends that I'd met through that was a girl named Nina. And Nina just needed some help with a video project that she was working on, so just bopped over to go and help her. And, you know, that's when I first met Allison, and she was just so warm and friendly and, you know, made this project, this school project, so fun. And that was kind of the beginning of our friendship. And, you know, we also were in the same major, so we both majored in the School of Media Arts and Design at JMU. And she was not only a friend, but she was definitely a role model in terms of being a journalist, in terms of reporting the news, you know, being a hard worker. So she's definitely someone that's left a huge impression on my life, even in a very short period of time.
Spencer, how excited was she to get that job, especially where she grew up? As we know, it's so competitive in television news.
Yeah, well, I sadly have not been as in touch with Allison, or hadn't been as in touch with her in recent years. But I know leaving JMU, you know, she had a job lockdown, I believe, before she even graduated. And to be able to go back and be a reporter, you know, in her hometown area, I know that must have been amazing for her. And I got to, you know, we didn't stay as in touch as she went out to the real world, and I was, you know, still at JMU for a little bit. But being able to see just stories popping up on my newsfeed for Facebook, or, you know, just getting to check in every once in a while on social media, seemed like she was really, you know, following her passion and, you know, continuing to be a role model to all of us who kind of wanted to enter into that field as well.
When you heard about what happened, how shocking was that? I mean, it must have just hit you like a ton of bricks.
Definitely. It was very shocking, and, you know, it happened kind of quickly, it felt like. I had just come into work, and, you know, usually I check the news on my phone in the way in, but it was a super crowded subway, so I just ended up, you know, not checking the news that morning. So when I first came into the office, people were already talking about it, but had no idea, you know, I don't think they realized the connection. And, you know, when I saw her on the front, you know, front page of the New York Times website, it was devastating. It was awful. But, you know, it's been really nice to see the outpouring of love and support for her family, for her friends. And, you know, I hope that she, you know, what we're doing right now and what many other people are doing in terms of paying tribute will do her life justice.
Yeah, and you probably heard this, too, that they're going to set up, the television station said almost immediately they were going to set up scholarships in both of their names, which I thought was really something. And I can tell by the time you spent with her in college that the major meant something to her. She went off in the world and did what her major was about. So how awesome is that to have her name still out there helping other people?
It's fantastic. And I've also heard about the School of Media Arts and Design at JMU through the Alumni Association setting up a scholarship in her name as well. So, you know, I would encourage people to donate to her memory. And, you know, she wasn't just, you know, a good friend at JMU, but she was definitely someone who a lot of people looked up to. And so I think it's really wonderful that she can continue to have that influence with people who want to get involved in reporting and journalism in general.
Spencer Dugoff, thanks again so much for your time. Sorry for the loss. Glad that you crossed paths with her. Obviously, she had an impact on your life, and I hope that other people get to hear more stories about her as well. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so you heard the story there of Spencer talking about Allison Parker and going to James Madison together, and the fact that they accidentally got, you know, they were in the same major, knew each other, but really got to work together and became friends through that. So college friendship, and that was only a handful of years ago, and then what she went on to do. And he wrote just such a moving tribute. It's on slantnews.com, and I'm going to put a link to it on my Facebook. If you go to americatonight.net, you can click on Facebook, and you'll see it there, because it's so well said. He talks about, you know, opening his computer and seeing her face on the New York Times website, as he mentioned to us, and saying that a coworker mentioned seeing the news and he was just shocked at what had happened. And then some of the details started to come about and he started to realize more about it. And he talked about the fact that they were in school together and he was helping them on a project and what that was like, the video, and how she was funny that he had gotten to know her and that she was, you know, such a superstar in the making. And she was, as I could tell and had mentioned on the show before, you know, young in the career and absolutely enthralled with what she was doing. And she had that same sense while she was at college. And he talked about that, sitting in the television control room and seeing her, you know, light up on the screen, and that she had gotten a job, as he said, there immediately, and she was already into the profession as soon as she got out of school. And boy, it's just unbelievable in reading more of the details. You know, it's the grief part, and he talks about that. He says we all grieve. There's just too much sorrow to bear from such a senseless act. That's why you can't put it into words. And he said we'd be remiss if we didn't take the opportunity to celebrate her life and be grateful for all that she had given us and the gift of friendship and presence and existence. And it's exactly what I said too often with when someone becomes a victim and it is senseless and it is outrageous, then so much of that story becomes part of it, but not about what that person was with their, even though their time was cut short on earth. Who do they touch? What do they mean to people? That kind of stuff. And I think he has such a great point. Giving to the scholarship that JMU set up in her name, I think, is something in paying it forward for future people that will come through the university and have a chance at some kind of a career also related to media, the arts, etc. And again, just so well written, and it's so shocking in the conversation afterwards. Not shocking that reporters have been shot at and hurt in the past and that kind of thing, but shocking that somebody was here doing at a local station. Somebody was in Roanoke, Virginia. This woman, Allison Parker, and her friend Adam Ward, the photographer, and they were doing an easy peasy, fun report on tourism, and it turned so tragic without any warning, with nothing in their rearview mirror, any way to see or know what was coming, and then everything else that ensued after that. And I'm sure we haven't heard the last of things that will be set up in their names and what people are saying and remembering them, but we certainly appreciate that time that Spencer spent with us, as I know it's got to be pretty tough when you start to wrestle with that. It's always that shocking thing. Somebody you knew at school, somebody you were close to at school, you move on, and it's only just a few years after that happened. All right, stay with us. Much more coming your way next here on America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney.
Okay, open your mouth and say, ah.
Ah.
When your child has a sore throat, you need to know when to get help. The doctor-recommended Say-Ah Sore Throat Exam is your solution. The scientifically designed oral retractor offers a clear view of the throat, relaxing the tongue and minimizing gag reflex. Compare with a medical-grade chart, website, and app. Then you'll know just what to tell your doctor. A wellness plan in your hands in minutes. Go to sayahnow.com. Sayahnow.com, the new mainstay for every family's first aid kit.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
You're fired.
According to the Small Business Administration, 75% of small businesses plan to eliminate jobs or reduce workers' hours to part-time.
You're fired.
According to Gallup, the unemployment rate recently jumped to nearly 9%, and the underemployment rate hit a staggering 17.9%.
You're fired.
One out of three young adults and one out of two recent college graduates are underemployed. Hello, I'm Keith Abel, a pharmacist and a home business entrepreneur. In 2011, I became one of those statistics myself. Instead of looking for another job in corporate America, I joined Dr. Joel Wallet, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. We're creating steady incomes for ourselves and would like to show you how to do the same. If you want to supplement your current income, replace your income, so you don't have to become one of the statistics, then give me a call toll-free at 866-257-3105, 866-257-3105.
You're fired.
Don't wait till you hear those words. Start creating an extra income today, 866-257-3105.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, Zarelto users, if you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
It's so lonely here. I can barely stand it. I'm waiting for you to stroke your keys and unload over at gcnlive.com/community. Oh, come on. I know you have things to share. And there's a whole place waiting for you to share them. Light some candles, pour yourself a drink, and get cozy. Log in at gcnlive.com/community. Lots of people are satisfied. Why not satisfy yourself at gcnlive.com/community? I'm waiting. Get out of the friend zone at delicious.com.
Katrina and what has happened in the wake of Katrina. And we're very fortunate to catch up with this guy, Jared Bro. We've had him on before. He's a terrific crisis communications expert. And Jared, you are, I think, a native, right, of New Orleans, certainly of that area of Louisiana. And this was the horrific thing that happened to you and the people around you. And take us back to that day and what it was like those couple of days.
Well, the thing that strikes me in the crisis communications field is that everybody should have known what was going to happen, and I had actually predicted this storm flooding scenario 15 years before it ever happened. So at that time, a lot of us were just dumbfounded to watch that the mayor of New Orleans was not calling evacuations. All the other communities were calling evacuations when they needed to, and this guy wasn't, and he waited until it was too late. He was the classic prediction, and what that created was the human tragedy of hundreds of thousands of people left in their homes when many of us knew the city was going to flood because levees would be overtopped with water. A 15-foot levee does not hold back a 20-foot surge of water. And I don't know how much people realize, but when a hurricane comes in, it causes the entire sea level to rise up like a vacuum cleaner sucking water, and you end up with this massive amount of water that's 20 to 30 feet high. So in the New Orleans area, in many places, it was 20, 25 feet. In Mississippi along the Gulf Coast, it was actually 30 feet high. Mm. So it all flooded, and then we just watched that human tragedy unfold on TV.
For you, what happened to you personally? Were you in the middle of that? Did you get your family out?
I got my family out days before because I knew exactly what was going to happen. As a former storm chaser and as the guy who had first predicted the scenario in 1990, I knew immediately what was going to happen. I remember vividly 4 o'clock on September 26th and the storm hit. On August 26th. The storm hit on August 29th. But at 4 o'clock, I came home and my wife says, "Do you know about this hurricane?" I said, "Yeah, I've been watching it. It's supposed to go to Florida." She says, "A friend of ours just called and says the course has changed." And I looked at it and I knew immediately that this was the storm that I had reported on or predicted, and my heart sunk. I remember just this gut-wrenching feeling, knowing that I might lose everything. Now, I did not live at that time directly in the city. I was about 30 miles outside the city in a more elevated area that wasn't going to flood, but that had lots of trees that were going to crush everybody's homes. I knew how many of my friends I had in the city, and I knew every one of them was going to flood. We put our own personal plan in place. You grab your family photos and the kids' home movies and whatever's precious to you, and you pack up the car, and I was actually on the road heading to Florida where I knew I was going to wait out what would probably be the next 10 to 20 days of my life because I knew I wasn't coming home anytime soon.
Wow.
But it was tough for me because I knew so many people were going to suffer and there wasn't anything I could do about it.
Wow, no kidding. Did you try to tell any of your friends? Did anybody listen to you?
Well, my friends used to actually call me to find out if I'm evacuating, then it's bad enough that they would evacuate. So I was the barometer for a lot of my friends. But I did call friends and tell them, get the heck out of the way. I always book hotel rooms in multiple cities so that I know where I might have to run to. So I was able to give away hotel rooms that I had booked once I picked my path of evacuation. But so many people in the city directly just were not going to move. Too many people say in life, well, I went through Hurricane Frederick and I was fine for that one and I'll stay for the next one. And what people don't realize is no two storms were alike. With Hurricane Katrina, people don't realize if the eye of that storm had gone 5 to 10 miles further to the east, the devastation would have been doubled in metropolitan New Orleans.
Oh.
A lot of New Orleans flooded, but a lot of the metro area was spared from the rooftop-type flooding only because that storm veered slightly to the east. So no two storms were alike, and one of the things people need to realize, because right now we're in the two highest peak weeks of hurricane season, is it is easier just to leave. Yes, it's a financial strain to pay for a hotel and to drive out of town, but the suffering that you endure for the lack of creature comforts when you stay behind is just pretty unbearable.
Wow, well said. We're speaking with Jared Breaux, and he went through this. He went through Katrina. He's a crisis communications expert, as we're saying. What about New Orleans now, and will we see the possibility of it flooding again? What have they done? Is it a lot better off now, the city, than it was before?
First, I'll answer the first question. Yes, New Orleans can and will flood again. The highest levee is 32 feet. The lowest is 15 feet. That means you essentially have a 15-foot levee system that a 16-foot wave will overtop. $14 billion has been spent by the government and engineering by the Corps of Engineers for what they're describing as a fortified system. Many people remember levees caving in and falling down and the flooding going for a very long time. My own personal belief is that any time you have a levee overtopped and it's made out of dirt, you're going to have a degree of scouring, and flooding is and will happen again. But one of the things that concerns me is, as they've spent that $14 billion, there's a natural solution that they haven't taken advantage of, and that is restoring coastal marshes. Louisiana and New Orleans is a big delta delta from the Mississippi River formed over tens of thousands of years, and we've been having a problem with erosion because the Mississippi River is dammed and levied. Water on an annual basis doesn't flow into those wetlands, which is what naturally created them. So since 1927 floods and levees built in the 30s, those marshes have been dying at a rate of 33 football fields a day. And I would really like to see a concerted effort to put these marshes back in place for this one reason. 3 miles of vegetated wetlands, grasslands in the swamp, cut the friction of a storm and will drop tidal surge by 1 foot. So 60 miles of wetlands, as a storm would move over that, it's like sandpaper slowing that storm down, grinding it down. A 20-foot tidal surge can be reduced to just a few feet. So therefore, the amount of water pressure hitting up against those levees can be reduced. And the secret is to pump sediments from the bottom of the Mississippi River into those wetlands, and you can rebuild those acreages pretty quickly. I've watched it done in some pilot projects.
Why isn't it being talked about more? Is it just a lack of knowledge or wanting to mess with it, or what's the reason why?
A lot of talk has happened, but no funding has happened. It's not the kind of bright, shiny thing that anybody wants to put money on. They were very eager to build massive concrete walls that are very visible to the public, but they were not as eager. And then you've got competing organizations. You've got commercial fishing. Our state is second only to Alaska in the amount of fish caught in America. Mm. So fishing waters have changed, and fishermen will be impacted. So they don't want an immediate impact. And one of the things that has to be done is you have to treat these fishermen the way you treat farmers in Iowa who might be affected by a crop loss. You're going to have to provide some type of financial compensation. I know people don't like to write checks for things like that, but here's the way I look at this from the big picture. It cost $80 billion for the government to respond to Katrina, and it cost, I think, $150 billion for insurance companies to respond, and it cost hundreds of billions more for each of us to do the repairs. So we're looking at about a $400 billion impact if you were to calculate what we took out of our pockets to repair our homes, because, you know, my insurance company cheated me out of $100,000, $150,000, and I know it happened to many other people. So if we look at how much can we spend to reduce a $200 to $300 to $400 billion impact, then it becomes very smart to say, you know what, a few million dollars can create land. And I say a few in comparison to billions. But you can recreate land, you can compensate the fishermen for the temporary loss, and, you know, the scientists know it can be done, but then sometimes environmentalists fight it because they're afraid of pollutants. And while, yes, you've got to be concerned about pollutants, wetlands remove pollutants from the water. Let the ecosystem heal itself and let that ecosystem not only nourish the fisheries for the fishermen in the future, but also protect the infrastructure, because New Orleans is one of the largest ports in the world to this day. It's vital to the economy of the U.S., and 32 states drain their water right down that river into our watershed. So it's a national issue that's been talked about but has not been funded.
Well, it's time to get that funded. There's no question about that. Jared Breaux, fascinating information. Thanks for sharing your story and forwarding the story for us, too, as well. We'll talk to you again soon.
And thank you for checking in on us, and thanks for everybody who donated time, talent, and resources and money to help us recover. The city is recovering, and it's stronger than ever, and it's because so many people around the world cared.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jared.
Take care.
Do you owe the IRS money?
Do you have years of unfiled returns? Has the IRS garnished your wages or put a lien against your house? The IRS has the power to make you pay back what they claim you owe and will stop at nothing to collect. If you are losing sleep over your IRS tax problem, there is a solution. Call Signature Tax now. Speak with our professionals and feel the weight of your tax burden lifted from your shoulders. Call 800-643-4661 for your free and confidential analysis on ending your tax nightmare. We can help get your life back on track and give you the fresh start you deserve. Our A-plus BBB-rated tax resolution team has over 125 years of combined experience to get you the best deal possible while stopping the IRS dead in their tracks. Call Signature Tax now at 800-643-4661. Call 800-643-4661. Again, that's 800-643-4661. 800-643-4661.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to onesilversolution.com. Onesilversolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the Sacro Wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the Sacro Wedgie.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter.
Wow, two powerful conversations there. One certainly with Spencer Dukoff, who was friendly with the, he went to school with and was friendly with the reporter who was killed, Allison Parker. And then, of course, the other, Jared Breaux. Interesting, you heard what he had to say. And I've had conversations with that on the air. In fact, I think Grimm and I have had that conversation about the frequent caller to the show, if you don't know who he is. The thing about the marshes and why aren't they doing that in New Orleans and Louisiana, because of how that could add that protection with the wetlands, and instead it's become that tug of war, as Jared was explaining, and what a difference that would make. All right, so as we head for the exits for this hour anyway, a couple of quick things to throw into the bucket. One, since I have family in Florida, I'm especially, and so many of my fabulous listeners, we have many stations in the Sunshine State. I've been tracking and talking to weather people about Tropical Storm Erica. And it went through the Dominica. It was brutal. Three people were killed. 20 people are missing. A church, you just saw it collapse. I was watching some video that somebody sent me of that. It was scary. Mudslides just wiping out roads and swamping villages. It's a beautiful little place, kind of off the beaten path. But Americans, a lot of Americans will go there for diving and that kind of stuff. So Erica's expected to maybe dump 8 inches, maybe 12. And this is in the Virgin Islands, Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, Turks and Caicos, very vulnerable there, parts of the Bahamas, too. So in those areas, they're talking about flash floods and mudslides. Now, what happens as it gets closer to Florida? That's the concern. Is it going to die out? Because these are the bad weeks. You heard Jared even say that these are the two brutal weeks for hurricanes. He pointed that out, and he's right if you go back and historically look at some of the scarier hurricanes that we've had. So what is it going to what's going to happen as it gets closer to South Florida? Probably around Monday. Now, they're saying it might reach a hurricane status with 75-mile-an-hour winds, so that's bad news for South Florida. And already the governor, Rick Scott, is warning people, batten the hatches, we're watching this, we're telling people what to do. They're all over it in the Sunshine State, knowing, having been through Andrew and Rita and so many others that were crippling in various areas. They don't take this lightly, nor should anybody, because it is one of those things. Sometimes it veers off course, but tell that to the people in the Dominica who watched houses crumble and cars roll away and mudslides fall right in front of them. I mean, it was nasty. I mean, it is bad in the Caribbean, this storm. And this is why you cannot for sure say, oh, don't worry about it. You know, that's the game that you play, which is what Jared said. That's the game that people play when they get hurricane beleaguered, you know, when they're sick of hearing about hurricanes and nothing happens. And some people think, well, we'll just ride it out. And then you can't ride out those kinds of storms when you're talking about those kinds of winds that I just mentioned. All right, I got to say this. Let's end on some kind of a happy note here. If anyone has any cashola in the market, and it doesn't mean you're, you know, I always qualify this, and I don't know why I do this, but because, listen, the everyday guy is counting on the market somewhat, especially if they work for a good company that has a 401k, which can be tricky, the 401k thing. However, for some people, it's been an incredible lifeline because they've hit the markets correctly and it's multiplied that money to levels where they couldn't have multiplied it on their own, even being diversified and into other things. So the Dow finished Thursday up 369 points. And you look at what happened on Wednesday, because that was over 600 points. So it's the best two-day point gain for the Dow in its history. So how about that? It's just leaped over the record that was set in 2008. The S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the stocks there on those exchanges, they both had gains too, above 2%. So that's good. The energy stocks were big. They got pumped up again. It's what we say. You are sitting at the craps table. It's such a deal with timing and everything else. And as it was explained by Harlan Ullman the other day to us so well, once it goes down, then you look at what kind of a, you know, people panic and then they dump out. You have to be careful of when you dump out. But if you're in a 401k, you can't, usually there's only times of year that you can get in and out anyway, so you can't, you know, so you can't do that. In the meantime, a couple of other odds and ends, too, that throughout my day I was able to pick up a few interesting things. And one, I have to mention this, on the campaign trail, Donald Trump today, the funniest thing, I guess most bizarre thing that I've seen in a while, is he had one of his supporters when he was out, you know, at this fundraiser. He was at the podium, and he had one of the fundraisers, hey, would you come over here and would you touch my hair? Would you tell them it's real, right? Because of the things that are, you know, written that the hair is fake, that it's a toupee and that's what's blowing around. And so, of course, the woman who confirmed that, she confirms this is in South Carolina. No, it's real. She touched the hair and said it's real. And apparently, her name was Mary Bannister. When she jumped up and did that, she said she never imagined she'd be on stage in front of 1,400 people actually examining his hair and thought it was, you know, she said it was a pretty funny moment, actually. And it's interesting, too, because she's married to the South Carolina House Majority Leader. And it was just one of those things of where she was sitting and him calling her up and her jumping up and doing it, not realizing what she was getting herself into, I guess. So, you know, there you go. The man who can't stop talking is still, once again, ahead in the polls. I have to say it, because people are waiting for the polls to go in a different direction, I suppose, but that's not happening. Whatever the poll is, he seems to be leading in the poll. Somebody sent me an email to that effect. Oh, it has to, like you say about the market, it has to come down. And yes, you would think eventually that would even out, but it's not. It is not evening out. No, he is gaining ground, if anything. So you cannot count out. You know, you can't count out Donald Trump at this point. Can't do it. And then also mentioning this because of what we talked about at the beginning of the show a little bit, and what we talked about with the reporter about Allison Parker with her friend who went to school with her at James Madison. The shock still reverberates from Roanoke, and more now is being known about what happened afterwards. What happened with the former colleague, whatever, journalist Vester Lee Flanagan, the guy who so heinously killed these people. And what happened was, once they found him and tracked him for 200 miles he took off. He had all kinds of ammunition in the car. He had all kinds of other things that were also packed up in the car as well. So, you know, you look at this and you just say to yourself, what else was planned? And apparently the people at the station felt like at this WDBJ that perhaps he was going to come back to the station and go after more people at the station. And, you know, his personnel files, which now they've been talked about, revealed that he had lots of problems with anger issues, and then, of course, was fired by the station, and that's how that whole thing unfolded. And that's the question: who is he, and what's the deal on that? You know, who was this Bryce Williams / Vester Flanagan, and how did this happen? And the answer is, he obviously had an axe to grind with the television station, and once he was let go, he never found another job. He didn't find another job in television. So was there something that was, he was obviously not stable, but was there something inside of him that just completely imploded? It's just awful. Awful, awful, awful. By the way, here's your other silver lining. At least, thank goodness, Vicki Gardner, who was shot, she was a tourism woman. She's in stable condition. She underwent surgery, and apparently she's doing okay. Thank goodness. Thank you for listening to this hour of America Tonight.
$10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years' experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.